As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, I'll point out that we have two prayer quilts here. After the service, as you exit the sanctuary, you have an opportunity to tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign the card for them out there. Also, as we prepare to pray, keep in mind the families that our church families that have recently lost loved ones and anyone else also that you know of that may be dealing with illness. Please keep them in mind. Please pray with me. Great and glorious God, your goodness and grace are limitless. You created the light, separated it from the darkness, and saw it was good. Separate us from temptation, like the light was separated from the darkness, so that we will not be separated from you. You created the waters in the sky and saw they were good. Let us be a reflection of your Holy Spirit, like the waters and sky reflect your glory, so that we can be good examples to others. You created the land, seas, and vegetation, and saw they were good. Bring forth in us a desire to help others, just as vegetation springs forth to feed your people, so that we serve you while serving others. You created the sun and moon to light the earth, and saw they were good. Light our paths at all times, like the sun in the day and the moon at night light the heavens, so that we never lose sight of our way to you. You created living creatures in the seas and sky, and saw they were good. Fill our hearts with love for our neighbors, like the fish fill the seas and birds fill the sky, so that we can experience the peace of Christ. You created living creatures on the land, and saw they were good. Then you made man in your image, and saw they were good. Lord, forgive us our sins and give us the wisdom to sin no more, as you intended when you created us in your image, so that we can be with you and glorify your name. We are thankful to join in fellowship and gather in worship of our Heavenly Father. We worship together, but each of us carries our own burdens. Hear our silent prayers as we lay our concerns at your feet. Lord, thank you for listening to our prayers. Thank you for blessing our lives with your presence. Thank you for sending your Son to save us from the burden of sin. Now, hear the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson is contained in the 22nd chapter of Acts. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women, and throwing him into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "My companions saw the light, But they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. "What shall I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said, "and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dave. So I'm not really a football fan exactly, but I do have a football memory that does lead me over onto the side of fan. It was September 14th, 1991. 25 years ago, I had been a United Methodist pastor serving in the Gladwin area for 2 weeks. And I went with some of my friends. We were alumni of Central Michigan University. And we went to Michigan State Stadium, Spartan Stadium, to see Central play Michigan State. This is the first time it had been done. And I remember the game. Central took the lead early on and kept it through the whole game. The final score was Michigan State 3, Central Michigan 20. The thing that was the most memorable to me was at the end of the game, as the end zone full of Central fans, go Chips, went down into the stadium, and the band was running, and the players were running toward the fans. They had their helmets off, and some people might claim that they were sweating, but no, I know the truth. They were weeping with joy. It was amazing. I became a fan, not just a fair weather fan, but of Central Michigan certainly that day, and of the football team, who had a very good season. The next year, I was back at Spartan Stadium. I have to do this to you, Spartan, sorry. But I was back at Spartan Stadium in 1992 when it was said there is no way that Central can beat Michigan State twice, and they did, this time 24-20. And so I remember those games. Maybe some of you have tried to shut them out, but I remember those, and I am a fan of Central Michigan. I just had to put that. I don't have my maroon and gold on, but I am. Last week, we started a series called Superfan, the Ultimate Follower, and we're trying to figure out what does it mean to be a superfan of Jesus Christ, a superfan Christian. And what I shared last week is there are some traits of a superfan. One is that they feel they share the values of the thing for which they are a fan. So whether that's a team and you value just a winning spirit, or it's a genre of book or a particular pop star or a type of movie, that wherever you are a super fan, you share those values, and you can listen to that sermon on the podcast at our website if you'd like. The other traits that superfans share include a positive experience with that thing or that event that makes you a fan. They also share the trait that it's something that they feel has changed their life in a significant way. And finally, a superfan is someone who is willing to share. So this week I want to talk about having that positive experience that makes persons a fan, and also that experience of being feeling that they're life has been improved by quality. Last week, we talked about the ladder of engagement, how you move from being not connected at all to being a superfan, and the ladder goes something like this. You become aware of something. I will tell you that superfandom in my home when I was growing up, my father was a hockey fan. So Saturday night, when we would hear the hockey night in Canada on CBC, we'd hear that music playing. I don't know if anyone else has a memory of that. It meant do not walk in front of the TV and shut up. And so we knew that. And I knew that we became interested when Dad would take us to Flags games. It was a minor league team, a hockey league, out of a hockey league, an international hockey league in Port Huron, Michigan. We'd go to those games and be fans of the Flags. We began to interact. We went to Red Wings games. We became engaged. And also we would talk about hockey even in the days when no one else wanted to. And so we knew that that was the super fandom in our home. You may have memorized all of the songs from Disney musicals, and you are a super fan. You may be a fan of a particular TV show and have the t-shirt to prove it. You may know all the lyrics to the Dave Matthews Band songs. Whatever your super fandom is, you know what it is to have a story of a positive experience in your life that has brought you to that. My niece, who's over on the your left, over here to the left, Andrea is a Michigan State grad and a Michigan State fan. Here she is at the Izzone camp, because you had to camp out to get basketball tickets to sit in the Izzone. You might recognize the coach that she's there with. And my niece had such positive experiences at Michigan State, not only in her education and in her friendships, but in football games and basketball games, that she has become a lifelong Michigan State fan. And it is only second to her super fandom of the Detroit Tigers, which makes her very sad today. And so if you find things in your life that you have a positive experience with, that it's more likely that you will become a fan. So I bring to you now the idea of Paul's experience. We heard a little bit, Dave read today from Acts 22. Paul's experience that made him a fan of Jesus Christ. You may remember the story. He was a Pharisee with high credentials, and his job was to seek out Christians, those who had turned from the Jewish faith to following Jesus Christ, and to say to them, you're wrong, to punish them, and even to bring them to the point of death. And so that's what his job was. On his way to Damascus, as he tells the story, he saw this bright light, he fell down, he was blinded. 3 days later, he was told by a guy named Ananias that he would be a witness for Jesus Christ, and he became a super fan of Jesus. Now, it's an amazing story, and this is the thing that I think is fascinating about this, is that when Paul, in Acts 22, had to defend his faith, he did not give some theological statement about Jesus Christ. He didn't even talk about Jesus Christ being on the cross, dying and rising, and doing away with our sin, offering us forgiveness and everlasting life. He didn't talk to people about repentance and saying, it's time for you to repent and come. He did not talk to people about the opportunity for salvation and hope. Instead, what he did was he told his story of a positive experience with Jesus Christ. And what did he gain? He gained in that experience community, joy. He understood life, and he switched from being a person who threatened death to a person who pursued life. He switched from a person who followed the letter of the law and felt that's the way you had to connect with Jesus Christ, to becoming someone who understood that Christ, by his death and resurrection, makes us whole and brings us life. He was a super fan from that positive experience. And I believe that that's what brings us into this faith. Now, we have different experiences that come to us. For some of us, those positive and real experiences are things that we remember from our childhood. For some of us, we can remember a moment in time when we accepted Jesus Christ. For others of us, we say the positive comes. We've been faithful, but when we are faced with the darkest of times, Christians step up in amazing ways and warm our hearts. And it becomes our story of the faith. Now, I want to tell you a superfan story that leads to this understanding that when you have a positive experience, you go from fan to superfan, and it involves Jane and John Binkarski. This is a picture of him. You may recognize the stadium. And yes, they are superfans. I heard the story this week, and I want to share it with you. Now, it goes like this. Jane became a superfan in 1969. She was a young girl, very young, of course, and her father and a neighbor took her to a Missouri game at Michigan Stadium, and she fell in love with the Wolverines, and she would be a fan. In 1982, she had been at Central Michigan University, went down to Georgia. 82, she came back to teach here in this area, and she got those season tickets, and she was there. From 82 to 84, she went to all of the Michigan games, and she looked around, and there were a group of people all kind of in the same fraternity connected. She got to know them. And this is what happened in 1984. Somehow the announcer during the game mentioned Central Michigan. She was an alumni. She stood up and cheered, and there was a man a couple rows down who turned around and gave her a look. Well, she gave him a look. And she turned to the people behind. She goes, "You know who that guy is?" They said, "Oh, yeah, that's Boomer. And he's single." And so they took her right down, introduced her. They went to a post-game party. They had a few dates, which involved going to basketball games and football games at U of M. And in 1989, they were married at First United Methodist Church in Ann Arbor. For Michigan people, can you guess where they had their reception? Michigan League, all right? And so they have been married since that time. And this is what Jane says. She reminds her husband, John, regularly that in 1984, 110,000 fans at Michigan Stadium, she chose him. And this is also what she says. That there for 7 Saturdays, every fall of every year, we get to return to the exact spot where we first met, section 35, row 38, seats 23 and 24. The Binkarskis are super fans. It is what can shape us if they have positive experiences. I want you to take just a minute to listen to Linda Cohn, who is an ESPN broadcaster, talk about her experiences with sports.
I think love's an understatement, my love of sports. It filled the void for me growing up. I had tremendously low self-esteem. You know, when you're a young person, especially a girl, and you don't feel good about yourself, you need something to look forward to, right? You need something to make you feel good about yourself. And that's what sports did for me. A, gave me something to look forward to. That's why I love the teams that I do. Growing up on Long Island, falling in love with the Rangers, the Giants, the Mets, and sometimes the Knicks. And that gave me something to look forward to when they were playing. And the bond that I shared with my dad. If it wasn't for my dad being such a huge sports fan, forget about it. I never, ever, ever probably would have found sports and thus been addicted to it as much as I am today. And I want to get back to the point of that it fills a void. I mean, I have this to this day. Even though I've gone on to have a 23-year career at ESPN, and worked in the business for 30 years, at least, my love and obsession and drug, legal drug that I have by being a sports fan has kept me attached and kept me from becoming jaded.
Listen to some of the things that she said. She said, "I had low esteem as a child and sports lifted me. I bonded with my father. It filled a void for me." For Linda Cohn, it shaped her life, and it made a difference in who she would be and what work she would do. She found a place to be a super fan because of the positive experiences of her childhood. I have to tell you that for Paul, it did much the same thing. It changed his life. And as he went out around the Mediterranean to found churches and to proclaim Jesus Christ in hardship and in good times, he traveled on. Because of what had happened to him, he was a super fan. I believe that all of us have those kinds of testimonies to tell. It might be for us that our life has taken a surprising direction by pursuing this faith in Jesus Christ, wanting to know more, saying yes to some teaching, some class, some mission, some work that we would never thought we would have been involved in, but we do because of the faith. We might have a testimony that talks about living in darkness and seeing the light through Jesus Christ and by those people who are Christians who have lifted us up. We might have a story that talks about having purpose by being Christians or even simply finding community with the faithful. Those positive experiences are the things that shape us into super fans. You know, I can celebrate that on September 1st, 25 years ago, I became a pastor of the United Methodist Church, serving in churches. But I have to tell you that there's another fall anniversary I remember. In 1973, that would be 43 years ago, it was after a football game, a high school football game, that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so I celebrate 43 years of being a super fan. With a lot of stories to tell about that. This is my challenge for you this week. I want you to think about your faith journey, whether you're right at the very beginning or you're years into it, and consider a positive story that you have, a positive experience that has you ever leaning toward Jesus Christ, and simply tell someone that story, a positive story of an experience of the faith. That's what I ask. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you have been ever leaning toward us, and we want to be as much a fan of you as you are of us. And so help rise in us the stories that we hold of how you have touched our lives, how your presence has blessed us, how your church, your people have been our support. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.